We are once again talking about yet another of these very curious incidents. I've got a slideshow for you on my broadcast today. I'm streaming live and it's October 1st, 2025. This is a couple of days after we were told that a man, see this truck over here in the corner? It's to the right of my screen here. We're told that a man in this truck drove through this brick building, rammed the church, and then started the church on fire. And it apparently pretty much burnt to the ground. I have so many questions about this incident, and I'm sure that you do as well. I would like you to think about how no fire response or no effective fire response was there. How did all of this absolutely burn to the ground, especially when it looks like the building was primarily made out of brick, or at least covered with bricks? And then I would really like to know my one overriding question. You see, when I look at these things, I don't just accept what is presented. We're going to look at propaganda and some of the tools of propaganda in this broadcast in a little bit. And I've got several questions that I'm going to pose about and some information that I'm going to bring to you. My first question is, why is the truck still here? Don't you think that truck would have been impounded for an investigation? And look where the yellow tape is. It's from one light pole to another. It's not even surrounding the truck. Anybody could drive in, touch the truck, put something in the truck, tamper with the evidence. That is bizarre. So that right there tells me that this is not on the up and up. Well, I forgot to say, because it was shown on the news, that tells me that it's not on the up and up. Because it's been promoted heavily on media and social media, that tells me it's not on the up and up. Because we're told that just a random man started shooting at random people at a random church, that also tells me that it's not on the up and up. There's so much about this story that I covered for you a couple of days ago. We're going to come back to these pictures. So I want you to mull this over for me. We're going to look at some close-up pictures of this vehicle. And I'd like to know if you see what I see when we look at this and how strange it is. Already you can see there's no tire tracks on this grass. I know it's a small picture. I've got larger ones in a moment. But looking at these clues that they are putting out there in plain sight. So we're going to go back a little bit, and here is another clue. I shared some of these images with you. I'm just going to do a very brief slideshow to remind folks if they didn't see my previous video. This is one of the spellcasters casting spells on the breaking news. He already is signaling his alliance and his allegiance to those who are in the know, and this is a Masonic gesture. Don't start arguing with me about, oh, they just do that. Well, yes, they do that. They do it intentionally. And you need to remember that Mormonism grew out of Freemasonry, which is a few hundred years old society, pretty much started in Scotland. And there are Masonic lodges all over, especially all over the state of Michigan. I've had some lovely Michiganders, that's what they're called, I found that out, email me telling me about what they know about the Freemasonry lodges in Michigan, and also some of these things that just didn't quite add up. So right off the bat, we get a signal from the news that what you're about to hear is, as I say, not on the up and up. I also showed you that the senator from Michigan, who just happens to live right down the street, what are the chances? Well, they're about 100% chance because she worked for the CIA. Oh, I shouldn't put that in the past tense. She works for the CIA. She just well, that's my conclusion. She just happened to live right down the street. She self-describes as a Jewish Democrat. And she also got millions and millions of dollars from gun lobbies. One in particular that I do know of, which is called Every Town for Gun Safety. Of course, that's what it's called. Common Sense Gun Safety. I think people know now that guns aren't violent. It's the people that are violent. And we don't even know if this was a true story. So there she is campaigning. This is who bankrolled her, Every Town for Gun Safety. Of course, we've got the three blue and the three red. You know, when I do my deep dive on Freemasonry, I'm still researching, friends. This takes a lot of time, my every waking hour. The blue and the red are the two main Masonic lodges, if you will, the two main branches. One is the blue and one is the red. So when I start to see a lot of symbols of blue in these orchestrated events, I'm going to conclude that it was put on or supported or somehow connected to the blue lodge of Freemasonry. And then when we see a lot of red, people wearing a lot of red, and because all of these events are often color coded, I've done videos on that in the past. And then you would have the red, which is the Red Lodge. So there have been a lot of blue clues going on here. Here we've got Allied Defense, which is an active shooter training organization, just happens to be in Grand Blanc, Michigan. And it probably is bankrolled. I would say probably bankrolled by this every town for gun safety, because they have all of their money. And that's what they do, is they put on these events. And I'm not talking about, well, I guess I am talking about gun grab events, because that's what usually happens afterwards. So here we have it. Allied Defense Training right there in Grand Blanc, Michigan. Who'da thunk? And there is the video. And the voiceover says, it's blurring the lines between what's real and what's fake. Well, how about the witnesses? Are they real? You tell me. I had so many great comments from you, friends. Scott, New York City, said the guy with the red cup looked like the school principal in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. That movie was so funny. Of course, he was just shot at while driving, and he has time to wait for the reporter to show up. He says his hand may have glass shards. Of course, he called it shrapnel to make people think that it was some kind of gun bullet shrapnel. And of course, he wasn't going to go have his hand looked at by any medical person. And then in the background, we had the rent-a-cops looking like they didn't know what they were doing, because they didn't know what they were doing. One of them was wearing a mask and they were rolling and unrolling the yellow tape, but they forgot to put the yellow tape around the vehicle that was supposedly used. Here are some more of the witnesses, very, very devastated. Now, what's interesting is we can't get, as of today, as my broadcast, I could not find the names of the victims. We are told that four people were killed and eight others were injured, including one person who was left in critical condition. Officials have not publicly released the names of the victims, but loved ones, are you ready? Have begun to identify them in online fundraisers. Well, let's take a look-see, shall we? Oh, before we see the fundraisers, this apparently was the day of the shooting. I don't know if you can catch this, a glimpse of this gal right here. Looks devastated, doesn't she? Grinning from ear to ear. And this one has a little smile. I don't know if they were paid to be here or what. I really wish that when I did my digging that I could find evidence and clues that these things actually were true, because it is disheartening to find out that most of them are orchestrated. Now, here we have it. More than $183,000 has been raised in just a handful of the online fundraisers launched to support the victims and their families. I also need to ask, really, no, without meaning any disrespect, why do there need to be fundraisers? Why? Why not have fundraisers for people who are alive, who need the money? Well, maybe that's what they're doing for the families, but I don't understand this whole fundraiser thing. Other than this is part of their paycheck. So here are the Howards. They've raised $71,000. And of course, all of the donations are anonymous that I can see. We don't even know if these are actual people. Here's another one. John Bond, not to be confused with James Bond. It's 11 days until his service. He happened to spend 9 years in the Navy. And he's only gotten 61,000. He's trailing a little bit behind the Howards. All right, I want to share with you this short video, and we're going to see some of the footage in the aftermath. And I want you to keep your eyes peeled for what doesn't look right to you, among most things.
Grand Township is trying to heal from Sunday's deadly shooting and fire at the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But today, family members of the suspected attacker are sharing their thoughts about what happened in this horrible, horrible tragedy. Thanks for joining us at 6. I'm Ty Steele.
Good evening. I'm Karen Drew. Kimberly Gill is on assignment right now. That cleanup continues at the site where the church once stood. At the same time, there is a surge.
Oh, let's go back just a tiny bit. So here's the overhead footage. Here's the truck at the bottom of the screen. There's no tape around it. I could see the street is not blocked off. So they're just going to leave the vehicle that we're told was used in this just sitting out there. There's no protection around it. It hasn't been impounded. That really is very strange to me. Let me just scroll through here a little bit and we'll see. Let's see what she has to say.
New updates from investigators as they continue to work to confirm a motive. But we are learning more about the victims in this horrific act. Their ages ranging from 6 to 78.
Ranging from 6 to 78. I think you can add that up.
Multiple GoFundMe pages shared just days after the horrific attack.
Shared just days. Of course, if you lost a loved one, the very first thing on your mind is going to be to set up a GoFundMe page. Friends, I have to ask, is GoFundMe in on this? I mean, don't they vet the people that are creating these fundraisers? Do they? And I know that they get a portion of the money that is sent, if this is even actual money. We don't know because it says anonymous in most cases. So that sounds really strange to me as well.
The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Grand Blanc Township. 4 people killed and 8 hurt after a gunman.
Does this look like something that just burnt from a regular fire? Now, there were some reports, and I couldn't verify that there was some sort of incendiary device that was put off like a bomb or something. But seriously, they couldn't get the fire trucks there to put it out? Is there some kind of evidence that they were trying to cover up? Oh, I don't want to overstep my bounds here. Who knows what was going on in there? There were a couple people that emailed me and said, Peggy, I think that location was actually vacant. We never hear in these news reports how many Mormons are in this little town of 7,900 people in Grand Blanc. Don't you think a town of that small size, you would know pretty much a lot of the people, and you would know how they could find out how many people attended that church? I think that would be significant. How many people were there that day? Who was giving the service? Inquiring minds want to know.
And rammed his pickup truck.
There it is. All right. It's sitting there. We're going to take a look at it. There's some kind of debris on the roof. What I notice is, aside from this little side view mirror that's down, it's a pretty pristine truck. I do not see any damage on the side of this truck. I'm telling you, I got more damage on the side of my car just parking in a grocery store parking lot with the carts, you know, flying here and there. Does that look like a truck that was rammed through a brick building? And why are the flags tattered? They're not burned. Well, how did that happen that those got torn? And they look in pretty good shape aside from that. Very strange. Let's keep going. We'll see some more.
Front doors. One of the victims, John Bond, was shot and killed. A Navy veteran who loved golfing and trains, according to his granddaughters who organized a GoFundMe.
All right. Let me see. I wanted to show more images. Okay. I guess this is one. This might be the person who was leading the service. Let's hear. Oh, there was a letter of forgiveness. That is so nice. And the person writing the letter mentions again and again, blue eyes. I think that is significant. Perhaps it is a reference to the Blue Lodge of Freemasonry. And of course, the color blue in Freemasonry is very significant. They use it for all of their different, whatever you want to call them, rituals, I guess. So here, blue, and it just goes on and on. But I want to let you hear from this fellow.
The leader of the Mormon congregation in Grand Blanc.
Okay, here's the the leader of the congregation. He must be absolutely devastated because he was there. I assume he was there. And let's hear what he has to say.
The leader of the Mormon congregation in Grand Blanc also speaking out for the first time.
We will come together through the power of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and we will be happy and find joy again.
And the motive in this case is becoming a little clearer tonight, with some pointing to disparaging comments the gunman made about the LDS faith prior to this. But to be clear, authorities have not confirmed anything. We also heard more from the gunman's extended family tonight. His brother sending us this statement saying, in part, we are devastated by what he did.
All right. I think that's enough of that. What I want to share with you is this information from the Grand Blanc Township Police Department. And here they've got their Family Assistance Center. One of the things that happens after these events is they really push hard on the mental health aspect. And that has been also a theme with all of the cooties hogwash. That's my code word for talking about COVID, so I don't get a strike on this channel. And here you get counseling because they want to know exactly who needs the mental health. And I wouldn't want to end up on any list for that. So here we're told that children have sent letters to the police department and this is the police department, thanking them for their work. And they already got cookies. Here we have it. Grand Blanc Strong, GB Strong, all different variations of that. Heroes don't always wear capes. They wear uniforms. We appreciate your hard work. From a Grand Blanc high schooler. Of course, there's no name. So I thought that was rather interesting. And some people asked me to dig into the background of the cheat of police, as I call them. He's actually been on the job for some time, and I wasn't able to spot anything too nefarious so far. But let's take a look, a closer look at these photos. Again, the truck here, pretty much unmarred. There are a bunch of bricks on top of the cab. No police tape. Anybody can walk up, take those flags. So how is it that this truck rammed into this brick building, but I do not see any tire tracks? I'm not saying it didn't, but I'm saying that I don't see any tire tracks. And what did they do? They got a tow truck to haul it out and just leave it parked there? Why? I don't understand that. It doesn't make sense to me, unless it was done with AI. Oh, this is an interesting one. I tried to find this video again. I just saw it today. Notice the black and white polka dots. Polka dots, unfortunately, I can't say this is why she's wearing them, but polka dots, unfortunately, also have a dark side to them. I don't want to go any deeper because I don't like to talk about harms to children, so I'll just leave it at that. And of course, the red and the black, which also can be associated with demonic witchcraft. And then you've got the black and white shirt, which is also a symbol of Freemasonry. And again, the Freemasons are the precursor to Mormons. So it's very, very intertwined, a lot of the same practices, symbolism, and so forth. What's interesting about this woman is she said that she came, are you ready for this, friends? She said that she's a Mormon and she heard about this on the news, and she came all the way from, anybody want to make a couple of guesses? All the way from Phoenix, Arizona. How do you like them apples? Of course, they had to insert that into the story so everyone would still have in their mind Phoenix, Arizona, which is where the political rally was following the Charlie Kirk incident. And of course, Phoenix is the birthplace of Scientology, which also shares a lot of the same rituals and practices with Freemasonry and other cults. So I found that very interesting that they had to insert that into the story. Can you imagine traveling? They are travelers, if you know what I mean. That's another significant point that Freemasons talk about traveling quite a bit. So they traveled from Phoenix, Arizona to Michigan. Why? What are you going to do there other than to be on TV? If anybody can find this video, you can see. This is the My Cat family. Another weird thing with these episodes and incidents, they have the strangest names for people that they come up with. It reminds me, if you ever go shopping on Amazon, all those Chinese companies, it's like all the names of their companies were just spit out of a computer. I'll have to do a video on that sometime. It's kind of funny. Before we go on, I want to talk about the 9 principles of propaganda, which are so evident. Big lies, right? Big lies work better than small lies because people say, well, people wouldn't lie about that. How can they all be in on it? And then they want to keep it simple. They keep repeating the same information again and again because people can't tell the difference between facts and familiarity. So when they hear something again and again, they believe that it is true. I want to point out over here the number 5, provoking all of the emotional response. It has to be a crisis, absolutely unbelievable, as you're going to see in a moment. They even state that it's unbelievable. And I really like this, and I want to thank my Healthy American. He knows who he is, who sent this to me. And this is focusing on emotion. A person might question facts, but they will never question their own feelings. So going emotional is one way to really get people to believe you. And I'm talking about the media. They traumatize people. They've got these, we're told, are mass events. And they repeat it again and again. My purpose in showing this to you is so that we can poke holes in their story. So we're not going to be emotionally responding. We're not going to be traumatized. We're not going to have the wool pulled over our eyes. We're going to stand up and say, this is ridiculous and I'm not falling for it. Here's a closer view of, is that another red cup? The guy had a red cup. I think that is significant as well. He looked so bored. All right, here's a close-up of the truck again. What's with this pile of bricks right here? Did somebody carry this pile of bricks and place them there? Are you telling me they fell off the truck as it was pulled out? Was it a tow truck that towed it out and just left it there? I keep asking these questions because it's so bizarre to me. Does this front of this cab, look like it could have run into and penetrated a brick wall? It seems very strange to me, friends. And they've got these photos for us here to look at. So all the window is out, but the front end is not smashed in. No, no, no. Looks weird. But the bigger question is, why is it there? Of course, the American flags, because only a right-wing, patriotic gun nut would do something like this. All right, this guy really got me curious. He was so dramatic. You can see my previous video. He was feeding lines to the witnesses. He said, I can't think of the words for what you're feeling right now. You must be terrified. It was so scary. And then here, I love the headline here. You just can't believe it. You see, they tell you right there. They just tell you. And you know what? He's right. We can't believe it because it's not believable. And I did a little research on this guy. Let's see if I can find him. There he is. This is the newscaster, originally from Dubai. And I don't know if that's exactly a one-eyed symbolism. I actually could not find too many photos of him doing any sorts of gestures. So I can't say that he is in that club. But I will tell you that he is a reality show TV producer. And I thought this was interesting. This is a Masonic symbol with the hand on the chin. And let's take a look. He actually did some coverage on the United Arab Emirates mission to Mars. How do you like them apples? So we can trust him. Here's his Instagram page. We're going to hear from him. I love this little meme that somebody put there saying, I don't believe you. All right, let's look at the concern on this fellow's face. Let me just make sure I've got it starting from the beginning. Oops. Let me see, maybe I can go back one. I'm not really on Instagram, so bear with me, friends. There he is. All right, this is what I wanted to play for you. There's a couple little videos
it's
here.
It's hard to put into words what it feels like standing here more than 24 hours after the deadly attack on the LDS church right here in Grand Blanc Township, right?
Remember, he's a reality show producer. He had his own reality show on TV in Dubai, something about CrossFit.
And behind me, you can see the aftermath, the burnt walls.
Does that look like a green screen to you? Does that look like he's really standing there? This whole thing could be a green screen if it's not AI.
Collapsed roof. Basically, the remains of a place that was once filled with prayers and community. Today, I'm back again talking to people, hearing how they're moving forward after witnessing the unthinkable.
We're all focused on just trying to figure out, is everyone okay? Is everyone accounted for?
Grant Malone was in the middle of Sunday service when his sanctuary of peace became a scene of chaos and terror.
It feels like our world is turned upside down.
Okay, is everyone accounted for? Well, how many people were at that service? They've never told us. And I don't think they ever will tell us. And what do you mean accounted for? I don't understand this.
But, you know, honestly, this is where our faith plays a huge part.
Now, in the wake of this tragedy, the community is standing in solidarity. The victim, Stan Beasley, came all the way from Northville to temporarily place this 10-foot, 65-pound cross at the memorial site.
65 pounds. Did you catch that clue? 6 + 5. Is 11. He also was at the Charlie Kirk political rally in Phoenix, and he shows up at all of these, I'll just call them events. I don't understand that either.
Symbol of the cross is a message of hope, healing, and love. Your interview is the reason.
Watch that again.
And it's talking about the survivors and victims. I spoke.
Okay. This guy looks really broken up. He's got a water bottle and an empty cup that he's drinking out of. And of course, the blood splattered shirt, pretty much about as much blood as there was on Charlie for a bullet that's several inches long that they never recovered. And it didn't sever the head from the body, just to put a fine point on it.
Spoke to live on air as the tragedy was unfolding. One of them was the church's Sunday school teacher, Paula Mazur.
I joined the church 38 years ago.
38 years ago. We can add it up.
That building, and now it's gone.
As soon as those words came out of her mouth, I knew that I had to bring this cross.
See his hat? I'm not liking that. I'm not liking that. All right. You can find out more from this guy on his Instagram page.
I job in for 7 years to try the developing situation here in Grand Blanc right now. Multiple law enforcement agencies and fire departments responding on the clandestine street right now.
And why is he so far away? Yeah, I'm not even thinking this. I don't even think there was any person really on the scene. Of course, the city is having a prayer service at 6:30. Three sixes. What else have I got here for you? Oh, we have got to watch this clip. I'll finish off with this one. Church leaders reflect on deadly attack. You can see how devastated they are. I've actually got the video for you right here. So we are going to play that.
Today, the first time.
Oh, you can see I normally do my research on super fast. Let me bring that back down. Does anybody else listen on a fast playback speed? Here we go.
Sat down with church leaders for a sincere heart-to-heart conversation about this recent tragedy, what they want the community to know about their church, and where we all go from here.
How has it been dealing with the community in this aftermath? What kind of things have you heard? What kind of things have you experienced?
Did this guy just win the lottery?
I've been overwhelmed with the expressions of love and support from the community. Doing everything imaginable, creative ways to reach out and show their love and support.
The reach and the impact of this event that is so tragic is bringing about a light and a goodness in our community.
It's so tragic. Did you notice her black and white polka dot blouse as well? He's so devastated. Speaking of this tragedy, which was just a couple of days ago. You know, friends, you've all experienced loss, tragedy, maybe even trauma. It leaves an indelible etching. There's a deep sorrow that doesn't go away when you experience these things. And you see it in the eyes. What are you seeing here?
And I'm realizing our community in the world we live in is much bigger than a small little geographic place.
What would you say to the community who might be unfamiliar with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? Something that they need to know that is clear that they're just unaware of.
I think I'm going to stop there because I can't even stand it. Well, I would tell the community that they have their roots in Freemasonry, and then that's probably a good place to start. Let's see. I don't even know if you're showing up here, friends, for me to look at your comments. I want to thank everybody for being on board. Remember, you can get my written comments about this at my Substack, peggyhall.substack.com. Can't wait to read what you have to say. And maybe you have some answers to my questions. For example, why is the FBI in on this? These are local events. It should be the local police department. And already the FBI is there. There was something else too, that the hospital has a press concert, as I call it. Hospital officials provide update after deadly Michigan church attack. Why were there no hospital officials providing an update after the deadly, I put that in quotation marks, Charlie Kirk incident? Why is it that everybody just ignores that? Where were the statements from the doctors? As a matter of fact, where's the bullet? And where is the ballistics report? And where is the blood? And where are his parents? And where was he buried? You got to say, more and more people are really waking up to this one. All right, friends, thanks for being on board. Wrapping up now, I look forward to seeing you in tomorrow's broadcast. And as we close out the week, I do try to have a little more lighthearted content, but there's so much to cover. And I want to be at your service to help you read between the lies, to pick up on these clues so that you can connect the clots and actually feel better about what you're seeing going on around you, meaning it's really not that bad. I don't think there are all these random shooters going out and shooting at random people. This Michigan is really, really, really corrupt. And I came across several of these previous incidents, and every single one of them resulted in more freedoms being taken away. I have coverage on that coming up as well. All right. Signing off for now, everybody. See you in tomorrow's broadcast.